Welcome back to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports, AM 1550, KDCO, FM 94.1 in Denver. I'm Joel Cantalamessa. This segment is brought to you by CB & Potts, which has been home of the CSU Rams since 1974. They've got five Front Range locations across from the Flatirons Mall in Broomfield, just west of I-25 on 120th and Westminster, Greenwood Plaza Boulevard off Arapahoe Road in Englewood, C-470 in Broadway and Highlands Ranch, and of course the original 1450 West Elizabeth in Fort Collins. Home of the Rams. Get there for your good drinks, good food, and all the CSU games on TV when they're away. I'm happy to introduce in this segment and next segment Steve Ivey of Crackers College Hoops Sports Blog and the beloved Ram Nation poster who posts under the name of Swole Cracker on RamNation.com. Longtime message board user, good friend of mine. Thanks for joining us, and Happy New Year to you, buddy.
Hey, thanks a lot, Joel. Thanks for asking me to join you, and Happy New Year to you as well. It's been a fun 2014. I'm really looking forward to 2015 with the Rams.
And our first segment went through the top 10 memorable moments of 2014. What sticks out to you as your number one?
I'd have to say on the football, certainly the football story, incredible. And rather than, it's real easy to pick a game here, a play there. But I think the real story or the real moment that happened over the course of the season with the number of games they won in a row, nine wins, and how they did it. Some blowouts, some close games. But winning nine games, getting nationally ranked, and getting in the conversation for a New Year's Day game, that kind of came out of nowhere. And for me, that was the story. That was the number one for CSU in 2014.
It was the best season that we've had there in a long time. It was just fun to be a fan again on a week-in, week-out basis. And I've said this before earlier in the year that it's not just so much that they're on this winning streak and they're winning games and they're being talked about nationally. But as a fan, when you go to Hughes Stadium every week, finally a good product once again. You know, pretty tough defense, which is good. You know, they had their moments and had their lapses. And then offensively, it was spectacular to watch every week. So, you know, just having a good brand of football again and being proud of the product was huge for me.
You know, and I'm right with you on that. I mean, watching a Heisman candidate develop in Garrett Grayson, who would have thunk? Seeing Rashard Higgins as a Biletnikoff Award finalist, one of the last three, leading the nation in yards per catch and total yards. Those are some pretty incredible I don't think any of us foresaw that coming as quickly as it did, and it was a really special year for those two guys. And then, you know, you could talk about some other just fun little moments. The Grayson to Lovett pass at Boston College, incredible play. The field goal that ended the Utah State game after the deep pass to Higgins. That field goal, that was as exciting a moment as I can remember in Hughes Stadium in years. Probably not since the Utah game, did a game end, Utah game, you know, 10 years ago with a goal line stand when CSU won. That field goal, that stadium was absolutely electric when that ball went through the uprights. And I'll tell you what, that kick would have been good from 60 that night. That was something.
That's funny you say that. That's exactly the same crowd reaction that I recalled after that kick went through was the jubilation that happened in that Utah goal line stand in 2005. When you look at the season as a whole, it was a success at 10-3. But the way that it ended, you know, you lose at Air Force, you lose the bowl game in blowout fashion, you lose your coach, seemed like you lost a little bit of steam. What were your thoughts overall on the season? And do you look at it pretty fondly, I assume?
I think that a fantastic season. Anytime you win 10 games, given the fact that I can't remember, the last time they won 10 games was, what, 2002, 12 years ago? That's a long time. And so anytime you win double-digit games, that's a special season. It's real easy to say, oh, the end was bad, the loss at Air Force. Obviously, that was painful. That's a rivalry game. That's for a trophy. And that was one that all of us, I'm sure the players and the fans, and obviously the large contingent of fans that went to Colorado Springs, that was difficult. And then losing the bowl game the way they did, not being really competitive, I think there's pain involved with that, but I don't think that took anything away from the overall success of the season. CSU was obviously on the right track. I always told people, you know, the key is you don't know when you're going to go from 6 wins to 10 wins in a season. As long as you get better every year, if you can go from 6 to 7, 7 and 7 from 8 to 8 and 8 to 10, as long as you're making progress. That's the measure of a program that's growing. And the jump from 2013 season with 8 games to 10 game, 10 wins, that's strong statement right there.
So as you watch the bowl game, what do you think went wrong? I mean, is the talent gap that big? Was it a poor game plan, bad execution, the team not having the right mindset with Coach Matt gone? What was your analysis of the reasoning for what happened there?
Joel, I thought there were a couple of things that happened. I think there were some, when you say talent, you know, talent issues, talent gap, I think there were some issues if you watched, you know, I'm a great believer that football teams are won with blocking and tackling. The CSU offensive line had their hands full with the Utah defensive line. That was a strong defensive front. That's something we got used to seeing when Kyle Whittingham was coaching Utah in the Mountain West Conference. They always had good defensive linemen, and they're a little bigger and a little stronger. And I mean, they've got the best defensive lineman in the country in Nate Orchard. It was interesting to see how Ty Sambrello blocked him so well, to the point where all of a sudden you watch Utah start moving him around and shifting him around, and lo and behold, the CSU offensive line broke down. And so I think there was that. And then on the other side, I would never be critical of the CSU defensive line. Those guys were probably the best group of overachievers we saw on the entire squad this year. But ultimately, they weren't real deep. They're not tremendously large. Most of them weigh in that 280-pound range. They're not deep. They have 4 defensive linemen, and ultimately they got beat up pretty good. The other thing you always have to look at is there are some teams that really prepare well for bowl games. Utah is notorious for winning bowl games. Kyle Whittingham has lost 1 out of 8 or 9. We were lucky in the Mountain West. We had 2 teams that had coaches that really knew how to prepare their teams for bowl games. I think maybe the 2 best first off bowl performances of this season were Utah over CSU and TCU over who they just played the other day that they held the 3 points. They won 42-3, and it could have been about 80-0.
Yeah, Ole Miss.
Gary Patterson and Kyle Whittingham. Those guys had their teams ready. I think our guys, I'm sure they tried, I'm sure they practiced hard, but I think that, you know, ultimately the loss of McElwain and the confusion at the start of after they had the bowl invite, I think that set them back a little bit. And I don't think their preparation was as necessarily tight as it could have been. But all credit goes to Utah for that. Utah just happened to play a heck of a game.
The way that TCU trounced Ole Miss in that game, it shows you how far Boise State came this year. Because Boise State, that Ole Miss team was very good at the beginning of the year. Boise State hung with them, you know, in that game, and then it kind of got away from them in the fourth quarter. But as the season went on, it looked like it was going to be an average year for Boise State. They just kept winning, and they kept getting better as the season went on. And then, as you say, and the reason I bring this up, is that's another team that perennially prepares very well for bowl games, and they did a number on Arizona a couple nights ago in that Fiesta Bowl. But that's a program that CSU is aspiring to be, and that's been verbalized by the administration. It's, you know, verbalized by Jack Graham. Mike Bobo has said it already. So that's a program that you really want to see CSU emulate and get to that point where they're taking care of teams that you're supposed to take care of, but then stepping up on the big stage and winning, which CSU is not quite there yet.
I would agree with that 100%. But, you know, from a fan perspective, we have Boise State in Hughes Stadium in 2015. That should be an electric night, given the season that both teams just had. That's going to be probably forecast as the game of the year in the Mountain West when Boise comes to Hughes.
That's going to be fun because they've got a lot of talent coming back. They lose their star running back, Jay Ajayi, but that is going to be fun. I can't wait for the schedule to come out and see what date that is. Steve Ivey, longtime RamNation.com poster and author of Crackers College Hoops blog. We'll definitely talk college hoops with him here shortly, and CSU Rams, the undefeated 14-0 CSU Rams. We'll talk a lot of basketball with him. But a couple more football questions here. Your thoughts on the selection of head coach Mike Bobo?
I'm actually really excited. I think some people might have been a little disappointed. There were some other names floating around. I really like what Bobo has done at Georgia. I love that offense. Not just the, you know, they got the whole Southeast Conference thing, and there's kind of the parallel to McElwain, but it's not so much that for me as much as it is that's a team that can run the football, and that's a team that can throw the football, and they can come at you so many different ways. And you look at the skill players that have come out of Georgia. You know, the Matthew Staffords of the world, the A.J. Greens of the world. I mean, there's some phenomenal players, but that's also partly the system and the offense that they run that have helped develop players like that. So I am pumped to see what Bobo can do. And obviously, as he brings more and more of his staff, we'll see what develops there as well. It looks like he's headed in the right direction there, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of a coup. It's, you know, getting the defensive coordinator at Central Florida, Tyson Summers. Everyone's calling that a lateral move. There may be some reasoning behind why he's leaving. There's, you know, people have talked about George O'Leary retiring soon, so there's going to be uncertainty with where these assistant coaches, you know, where what their job security is. So he jumped at the opportunity to coach with his friend, and he's good friends, Coach Bobo, so he jumped at that opportunity. But that's a good defense out there, and he's now defensive coordinator in Fort Collins, and he's also bringing along Will Friend, the former offensive line coach at Georgia. He'll be the offensive coordinator. And then
earlier today, Bobo also announced Ronnie Letson from Georgia will join CSU as the quarterback's coach. He will also retain Jeff Hammerschmidt as the special teams coordinator, and Tom Ellers will remain the director of football operations.
Marty English, I think, is being kept largely because of his relationships in the region and in state, in particular for recruiting purposes. Do you think that Mike Bobo would be smart to keep anyone else from the current staff?
Let me touch base on Tyson Summers. I was in watching the Sugar Bowl. They posted a graphic, talked about Alabama and the number of rushing touchdowns that they had given up this year, and it was only three. And then they put in parentheses who was second in FBS, and it was Central Florida. They'd only given up eight rushing touchdowns. I always think that teams that can stop the run are ultimately going to produce successful defenses. Obviously, if they don't give up touchdowns on the ground, that's a pretty salty defense. So I'm excited about him coming. You mentioned Marty English. I think his ties in Colorado are very important, not just in terms of getting in top players out of Colorado, but he's got eyes for walk-ons as well that can develop into very good players. He's the one that got Mitch Unrein up to Wyoming, and we saw how Mitch Unrein did up there, and then later has had a great career with the Broncos. In terms of guys, I'd like to see maybe stay off of McElwain's staff. I think our wide receivers, Alvis Winnett has done a great job as the wide receivers coach. That's a group that really came on, and it's not just Rashard Higgins that developed. They've got some other guys there that look like they're going to be players down the road as well. After that, you know, I leave it up to Mike Bobo. That's his judgment. He knows what he's looking for, and I'm one of these guys that, you know, you just trust the judgment of the guy who's in charge. He might make a mistake or two. That's life. And we've all worked in corporate world or businesses, and you know, sometimes you get an occasional manager that doesn't work out, and you just have to adjust to that. But the bottom line is, I trust Mike Bobo and his judgment. I think he's going to bring in a great staff of guys that can recruit and develop players. So.
Got about a minute left for this segment, Steve. Do you have any concerns with Coach Bobo not having any ties to the area? He's going to be a likely candidate should Mark Richt ever leave Georgia. Do you anticipate that being an issue? I mean, you'd like a coach that comes in and can elevate the program, even if it's only for a few years. But is there some detriment, you know, if he were to leave after, say, 2 years, that you're turning over a new recruiting class because you're bringing in a new coach during the recruiting period? That's the one drawback that I'm seeing personally, and I know that a lot of Ram fans share that concern. Is it a concern of yours?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's risk associated with bringing somebody in who doesn't have strong ties to the area and to the conference. I'm one of these risk-reward guys. I think the rewards of bringing in a good young football mind in his first job, and I think that far outweighs the downside of what could happen should he choose to leave in 2, 3, 4 years. I'm really excited about what's coming because I think he is a bright young mind, and he's going to do a heck of a job.
Steve Ivey, longtime Ram Nation poster, author of Crackers College Hoops. When we return, we'll turn our attention to the undefeated CSU Hoops team. Stick with us. You're listening to Ram Nation Radio on Mile High Sports.